to God's holy and inspired word. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and they came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say to them, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and Jesus sat on those cloaks. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Wow, Jesus is at the end of his earthly ministry. This is the last week of his life before he gives up his life as an atonement for the sin of his people. And we see that Jesus has said to his disciples, "Now you go into that village of Bethphage, and there's going to be a colt and a donkey, and so a mother and a little donkey beside that mother. And I want you to collect that for me, because I am going to ride into Jerusalem, and in doing so, I'm going to make an announcement." Okay? So the timing of this is perfect, because as I said, there are millions of people that are flocking to Jerusalem from all over the Roman Empire. What a great way and a great day to announce, "Ha ha, the king has come." So Jesus is very clear in what he's about to do here. Incidentally, in most of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, over and over again you'll see that Jesus isn't ready to reveal his messiahship, or he says to his disciples, you know, "Don't tell anybody about this," or he says to the people that he does great wonders for, "Keep this on the down low." But in this moment, Jesus is announcing his messiahship. The disciples are praising God and giving acclamation to the wonders and works of Jesus Christ. And the crowds themselves are laying their cloaks and palm branches on the ground, which is an Old Testament way of saying, "You are the king, and we give you all honor." Ah, all three of these groups are recognizing this is the King of Glory. So he sends them to the village, and sure enough, they come back. And in one of the gospel accounts in Luke, the people that are standing there say, "Excuse us, what are you doing untying this donkey and the colt?" And then they say, "Hey, the master has need." And then, "Okay, well, the master has need, let it go." And so it's like Jesus knows all things, of course, and he can just see in his mind's eye, if you will, this scenario happening. And he says, don't worry, you know, you just take something that doesn't belong to you. But when they ask, say, "The master has need," and they'll let you come. So sure enough, they do that. And Jesus is preparing to sit on that donkey. Presumably that donkey with the colt, and this donkey evidently had never been ridden upon. Maybe that little colt beside her has a calming influence. But the thing is that Jesus is making a clear and unequivocal announcement about his arrival in Jerusalem. Because it says there in Zechariah 9 verse 9, "Tell Jerusalem, tell, O daughter of Zion." Incidentally, when every time that you see in the Old Testament, "daughter of Zion," that means the children of Mount Zion, the children of Jerusalem. So it's code talk for saying, "You citizens and inhabitants of Jerusalem, ha ha, your king is coming, okay? Riding on a donkey's colt. And the quote from the Old Testament is, "See, your king is coming, lowly, lowly, riding on a donkey." Now, there are two aspects to that. First of all, Jesus is arriving in Jerusalem as the king that is foretold. Everybody is expecting him to be riding in on some beautiful white stallion as a conquering king. You got to understand, these people have been under the foot, the heel, the thumb of the Roman occupying powers for a long time. Now, fortunately, we here in the United States haven't had that much of an experience of an occupation. And we certainly, even if you would say that during the era of Reconstruction, if there were troops here in North Carolina, none of us would remember any of that. Okay, people in Ukraine right now are under the boot of the Russians. And they're feeling the full force of an occupying power. And how does the average Ukrainian feel about being invaded by such a power? They don't like it. They don't like it one bit. And all through the story here, even one of Jesus' own disciples is a zealot. These are people that are fighting against the occupying powers. If they had Molotov cocktails back in those days, you can be sure guys like that would be lobbing them at the horses that were coming in, because the Roman troops were well presented. And in fact, during this time when there was over a million visitors to the land of Israel, and especially Jerusalem, the Roman occupying forces were especially on high alert, because you never know what's going to happen, right? Chaos may ensue. So these Jewish people, when they hailed Jesus as the Messiah, King of King in the line of David, that's also a prophecy that's spoken about, because the scripture says that God promised that there would be a king in the line of David, the royal line of David, who would reign over Israel justly forever and ever and ever. That's the claim of the Messiah. Jesus is coming in. Now, he's not, as I said, riding on some big, you know, stallion, but he is announcing in the arrival of sitting on a colt that the nature of his kingdom proclamation is not so much victory over an occupying power called Rome, but rather victory over an occupying power, the prince of this world, the prince of darkness, the devil himself. People didn't get that. Even the disciples didn't really understand it at times. But Jesus is proclaiming very clearly by his words and his actions that he has come not to conquer worldly powers per se, but rather to put an end to the work of the devil himself. Wow. So there's that aspect. He comes in humility. He comes as a lowly king, clearly saying, "I'm here to establish the kingdom of God, not to establish a worldly kingdom. Sorry if I disappoint you." And in fact, it turns out that they really were sorry. So sorry that the very crowds that were acclaiming him on this Sunday may have been stirred up by the religious leaders just a few days later and say, "Crucify him, crucify him, get rid of him." Isn't that how it goes with leaders? You know? We hook our train, so to speak, to them if we like where they're going. But when that changes, we're like, not interested. But more than that, my brothers and sisters, this lowly king coming into Jerusalem is reflecting his very heart. Remember, earlier in Matthew, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all of you who are weary and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. For I am gentle and lowly." Jesus speaks of his own heart to his people. "I am gentle. I am lowly." And this Jesus, who 2,000 years ago came into Jerusalem and was lauded, is every bit as present and real to us today as he was to those people in Jerusalem then. And how is that so? Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. But Jesus, by His Spirit, indwells each and every one of us. Do you understand that? Jesus even said to the disciples, He's with you now, but soon He will be in you. He was predicting Pentecost, of course. The Spirit was with them, but soon He would be in them. And so also these people in Jerusalem, the Spirit was anointing that entire situation. But there would come a day, and soon, 50 days hence, when the Spirit would fall. So my brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today that this lowly and gentle Savior loves you, and He cares for you, and He knows what you're going through. He sees your pain, He sees your struggles, He sees your joys, He sees the things that you grapple with, He sees your besetting sins and how they so easily trip you up. And the heart of Jesus is tender toward you. He loves you so much. He's not stern in the sense that, you know, if we're naughty, that He's wagging His finger. I want you to understand that the lowly and gentle character of Jesus informs us that it is precisely in the difficult times in our life that He is carrying us, that He is holding us, that He is praying even more intently for us. Believe that when you are struggling in those hard places, the lowly and gentle character of our Savior is for you. He is radically for you. He loves you. Well, so He's there, and you know the cloaks are on the animals, and Jesus is riding, and the crowds are saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. What does Hosanna mean? Well, it means save us. Or, oh, save us. Like, they see the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, as the Messiah who will save them. Hosanna in the highest. I think it's so interesting. In this text here, if you dial it back 3 decades, the angels in heaven were saying, Hosanna in the highest. They were announcing the coming of the Savior, the one who would save us. The angels themselves singing their beautiful songs. And now here we are, 30 years later, and they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Also, if you look at the text very, very clearly, all of Jerusalem was astir 30 years before. Remember that? The wise men, they came in and they're like, hey, you know, where is the King of Jews? They're supposed to be born in Jerusalem. And then, you know, Herod is quite concerned about this because he sees that as a potential threat to his royal throne. And so he asks the religious leaders, and they say, well, isn't it in Bethlehem? You town that is basically of no account. You small, small, small city. Will not a Savior rise from you? And it says there that all of Jerusalem was astir 30 years before. Now 30 years later, they're asking the same question. Who is this? Who is this? And the answer of the people is, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet. Perhaps even then they didn't truly understand the full prophetic nature of the Messiahship of Jesus Christ. A prophet, think about that, is one who speaks the words of God to the people of God. And Jesus is speaking the definitive word of God. And He's saying, come unto me. He's saying, if you believe in me, you will have life. And not just for this life, but for all of eternity. That is His promise to you today. And all you have to do to enter into that promise is to believe. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have eternal life. And this is Jesus on that beautiful Palm Sunday in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, coming and announcing, I am the one, the one that you have waited for your whole life. I'm here. I am gentle and I'm lowly, and I love you with a never-ending and always love. And believe that, my brothers and sisters. And know that you can live out of the reality of that, the joy of that. For the Lord gives us the joy of the Lord, which is what? our strength. Let us live out of that reality. The good news of the gospel to us today is Jesus has come. He has announced life, and he is offering it to each and every one of us. I pray, my brothers and sisters, as you go out this week living the joyful Christian life, as you praise God and say, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. Hosanna, King of David, you are the one who has given me life. That you will reflect Jesus in all of the conversations and circumstances of your life this week. And that in so doing, people may see more of Christ. And who's to know? Who's to know? We know the scripture says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So have this sure confidence wherever you go in this week that you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ, who is the King of glory.